Worship together as always, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin and to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Beloved God, from you come all things that are good. Lead us by the inspiration of your Spirit to know those things that are right, and by your merciful guidance help us to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading comes from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. A reading from Isaiah. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice grape vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and he hewed out a grape vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard than I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it will be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed. It shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is a house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. The word of the Lord. We'll be reading Psalm 80. It's found in your hymnal, about a quarter way in. We'll be reading verses 7 through 15 responsively. I'll read the first part, you read the second half of each verse. Hear, O shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock. Shine forth, you that are enthroned on thy cherubim. In the presence of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your strength and come to help us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine upon us. O Lord, God of hosts, how long will your anger fume in the people of Israel? You have fed them with bread of tears. You have made us the derision of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn. Restore to us, O God of hosts, let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. We have brought a vine out of Egypt. You cleared the ground for it. The mountains were covered by its shadow. You stretched out its tendrils to the sea. Why have you broken down its walls? The wild boar of the forest have ravaged it. Turn now, O God of hosts, behold and tend this vine. Thank you for reading a little bit extra there. The second reading is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 14. A reading from Philippians. Paul writes, "If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider what I have made it. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the people, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to Jesus, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him the produce of the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it was amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a people that produces the fruit of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parable, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded Jesus as a prophet. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. All right. Thank you. Are there other children that want to come up? Let's see. That was a new verse, wasn't it? Huh? A contemporary verse for a contemporary day. Yeah. All right. I've got a couple of jokes for you here. Pastor Zach got to tell jokes on Wednesday night, so I've got a couple for you. Why did the pine tree get into trouble? Yeah. He wasn't? No. Well, he might have gotten in trouble for poking someone, but the answer I have is he was being kind of naughty. Get it? A pine tree's wood is full of knots, so he was being kind of naughty. It's kind of a play on the word naughty, huh? So here's another. What do you give to a sick citrus tree? A What do you give to a sick citrus tree? Lemonade. So instead of first aid or something like that, you give them lemonade, huh? All right. Well, those are just a couple of bad jokes. But so I'm going to dress up here. Let's see. What else is in here?
Apple.
Don't make me laugh. So what am I? What am I? Yeah. Think about the jokes I just told you. What kind of a tree? What kind of a tree? Yes, a fruit tree. Whew. I'm a fruit tree. Maybe just a fruit, huh? I'm talking about trees today because, especially fruit trees, because God has planted you in His garden. In baptism, God made you one of His children, one of His plants. Yeah. I know, that's how I feel about it sometimes. But you are a tree in God's garden, and God wants you to bear fruit.
No.
Yes.
No.
Not oranges or pears or cherries or bananas. No. How about if we just eat the fruit, those kind of fruits, huh? Well, what kind of fruit should we produce? What kind of? You are a fruit tree. You're just like me. Give me five. How about the fruits of the Spirit? In Galatians chapter 5, Paul talks about things like love and joy and peace and patience. Can you say these with me? Love and joy. Say that. Love and joy. Peace and patience.
Peace and patience.
Kindness and goodness. Faithfulness and gentleness.
We can't
say that. Oh, I think you can. Faithfulness and gentleness. And self-control. Wow. Those are what the Bible calls the fruits of the Spirit. And those are the kind of things that God wants us to produce with our lives. Gentleness and goodness and kindness and patience and peace and love. Self-control. It's a big task, isn't it? But that's what we were made for, and that's what Jesus died for, is to transform us so that we can bear good fruit. When you struggle with that, we can always come to God in prayer, can't we? And we can ask God to help us. Because there are days when we don't produce very good fruit. Huh? When we say bad things or when we do bad things, like you just sang about, be careful what you see, what you hear, what you say, what your hands do, where your feet take you. There are days that we do bad things with our mouths and our hands, and so we need God's forgiveness. So God forgives us and invites us back into that relationship to bear that good fruit again in a new day. That's the love that God has for us. He restores us so that we can bear that good fruit and find that joy in our heart. Is that a pretty good deal? We belong to an awfully good God, don't we? Let's pray. And you can repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on a tree to save us, to give us life. Help us to bear fruit that brings you joy. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen. Yeah, you did pretty good. Let's try it again. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, this is the gospel. It's the heart and soul of the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of God, that Christ is risen and he is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We were reminded of that by Anna Madsen, one of our keynote speakers at the Fall Theological Conference. And with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, death and all of its powers and principalities have been put on notice. Put on notice that they will not win. They will not prevail. Their destruction is looming once for all, for Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. You see, life now rules. And your life is therefore under the authority or authorship of God. As I just talked to the children about in baptism, God has put to death that sinful self, that old Adam, and has raised up a new creation, has connected us mysteriously with Jesus in a death like his, so that we will most certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. It's the stuff that the Apostle Paul is fussing with in the book of Philippians. And because we are now under the authority or the authorship of God, God in God's authority calls forth from your life and from my life fruit of the kingdom. He calls forth the fruit of life. It's that question of authority that leads Jesus into these times of conflict with the authorities of the religious and political systems of his day, the leaders of those systems of his day. By what authority, they ask him, by what authority do you do these works of healing and restoration of the people? And in Jesus' good and typical fashion, he doesn't answer the question, but instead he tells some parables. He tells some stories. By what authority do you do these things, Jesus? There was a landowner, Jesus said, who planted a vineyard, fenced it, dug a wine press in it, built a tower, and then left for another country. At the end of the season, he sent his servants to collect from those who were working his land to collect his profits. But instead of sending his servants home back home with a check, they are beaten, they are killed, they are stoned. So he sends others, and they are treated in a similar fashion. Still no check, no produce. Instead, he is a few workers shorter than when they were sent. Finally, he sends his son. He sends his son who has the full authority of the Father. And when they see him coming, they say, "Let's kill him and let's gain his inheritance." That's when Jesus invites the religious and the elite pronounce their own sentence of judgment. What will the landowner do to them, he asks. They reply, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and turn over the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce that he desires. As they're still pronouncing their own sentence, Jesus comes back with these words. Have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce the fruit of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be shattered, will be broken to pieces, and the one on whom this stone falls will be crushed. It's in those words of Jesus that the full weight of the Son's authority fully rests upon them. They can feel the system that they serve being threatened. They can feel that weight upon their chest. They can hardly breathe, and they wanted to arrest him. They feared the people. Just as they had a text earlier, they feared the people because they saw that that this authority was coming from God, and the people thought that Jesus was a prophet. That same authority rests upon you and I. That same authority of God that has come to us in Jesus Christ rests upon you and I. And there are times in our lives that we can feel it squeezing the breath out of us as we want to go one way, as we have one agenda and God has another. That same authority rests upon you and I because God has the authorship of our lives. And God expects that as trees in His garden or children in His quiver, whichever, however you want to say it, God expects that as people of God, that we will bring forth a harvest of life, a harvest of fruit that brings glory and honor to God's name. So often we think that to satisfy that authority, that what we really need to do is lead this pure and moral life. And while I wouldn't disagree with that wholeheartedly, I would also add to that throughout the prophets, God's prophets came to the people, and they were always and consistently preaching and teaching about God's justice, God's intention for life for all people, especially for the widow and the orphan, especially for the least among us, for the little, the lost, and the last, especially for the stranger in our midst, for the immigrant, for the voiceless, the powerless. And those prophets brought words of judgment when those who were least, last, little, lost were run over or trampled, were ignored, or not even seen. And that's when Jesus starts to mess with not only our religion, but our politics. And to be truthful, we don't like Jesus messing in our politics. It's bad enough when Jesus messes in our religion, but why does He have to mess with our politics? Jerusalem was at the heart and soul of the power of both politics and religion. They couldn't be separated. And we can argue today that they still can't be separated. As much as we want to separate our church and our state, as much as we should and see the wisdom in separating our church and our state, our religion and our politics still go together. And Jesus has authority over it all. To bring forth from His people life. Life from our religious institutions and life from our politics. Both of those are pretty messy today, aren't they? I'm sure that some of you have an increasing blood pressure even as I mention the words this morning. And oh, how I wish it wasn't so. Because both of those arenas of our lives have the power to bring death or the power to bring life. And that should be what our conversation is about. Whether it's in the arena of politics or religion, it should always be about is what we are doing, again, with our eyes, our ears, our hands, our texting, our posting, our sending, is that which we are doing, is it serving death or is it serving life? God has put on notice death and all of its powers and principalities, that they will not win. And yet we still, day by day, we still have a choice whether we will serve death or serve life. And it's not easy. Sometimes it's difficult to know, isn't it? Whether what we are doing in this moment will serve to bring life or whether it will serve to bring death. And then we come to a moment that somehow we just didn't expect. And yet, on the backside of that, we wonder why we didn't. 58 people are killed in the matter of moments at a concert in Colorado. 500 and more are wounded in that moment. And all of our focus comes on to this one event for days, for weeks. It comes on to this one event, and we try to figure out the mind of this madman. What could have caused this one to go off the deep end and take so many with him? Maybe it's a diversion so that we don't have to talk for a minute about politics and religion. We can focus on and wonder what happened that so many were killed by one who was serving death rather than life. And in that moment, we take our eyes off the bigger picture. We take our eyes off of the question of how our politics and how our religion is serving life or is serving death. And we take our eyes off the fact that millions of children's health care is in jeopardy because our governmental leaders can't renew a program that secures health care for children. And we take our eyes off of our government leaders. And again, I would say, I'm not talking one side or the other. I'm talking about those who are in power, who continue to threaten the life and the dignity of children who were brought here without any knowledge or desire on their own part. Those that we call dreamers, to send them back across a border into a land that they don't know. We take our eyes off the hungry, off the hurting, off the broken, and we get fixated on what it was that caused one person to kill so many in a moment of serving evil rather than serving life. Yes, Jesus died. He died so that we would have life. He died so that our sins would be forgiven. He died so that we, instead of following an amoral path of life, we could, by His grace, day by day, be renewed in the walk of a moral life, even though we stumble so often. He died so that we could serve life rather than death. And He forgives our sins so that we can be brought back into a relationship with God, our Father, who has authority over us, to use our lives to bear fruit. And as much as you might feel in this moment the authority of your Heavenly Father sitting upon you, remember that you are saved by grace. That Jesus has already been given to you. He has been given to the world. He has died so that you might have life and have it abundantly. And so when the authority of the Father rests upon us, it is an authority that is meant to restore us to the kind of trees, to the kind of people that we were meant to be. a people who serve life, a people who serve life rather than death, a people who trust a future of life and abundance rather than death and scarcity. And so this is good news. It may not be the answer that we like. It may not be an answer that makes us comfortable. But by whose authority does Jesus do these things? It is the authority of our Creator and our Redeemer and the one to whom we belong, the one who calls forth from us works, goodness, decisions that serve life. Life for all people. Amen.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. I will end each petition with, "Hear us, O God." And your invited response is, "Your mercy is great." Sing a love song to us, O God, with verses that rouse us to be the church in a world where faith is met with cynicism. Hear us, O God. Father, we come to you seeking healing. Our country is struggling with so many wounds from natural disasters, from man-made acts of terror, and from political division. There's so much going on, so much that's hard to understand. We are seeking your grace, your peace, your love and protection. Hold us in your hands. Hear us, O God. Be with and bless those that are actively serving their country. Give them strength and courage, safety and comfort. Provide for them and bless their families, often waiting in fear. Heal broken alliances between nations. Hear us, O God. Christ is risen. Father, you put our sin to death. You call us forth into fruitful life. You bestow onto us the authority to bring forth glory and honor to you in what we do. Hear us, O God. Good fruits. How many things in our world could be repaired if we focused on good fruits, like love, patience, kindness, grace, and peace? Do we serve life or do we serve death? Help us, dear Father. Hear us, O God. We pray for all people. You know everyone's needs. Lift us up to those people that have asked for our prayers at this time, and for those that for reasons of their own choose not to be listed. We lift up the following to you: Rolf, Jim, the family of Raymond, Michaela, the family of Norma, Ione, Leona, Mavis Ann, Luann, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Magallanes, our missionaries Colin, Jenny, Josephine, and Amos. Hear us, O God. Trusting in your mercy and goodness, we bring forth all of these prayers and whatever else you see that we need. In the name of the one who sets us free, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Go in peace.
Go in peace.
Bring forth good fruits.
Thanks be to God.